J6.
Number 2A.
All right, so we just carry on from where we left off last evening. And we can see then that whole subject now of Christian Science versus human philosophy is a big subject, something that we want to be clear on. I think as Christian Scientists, we always feel, well, we know that Christian Science is distinct from human reasoning, but what we call in Christian Science animal magnetism or outside influences can be very strong at times, and we can be deluded and tricked at times into not realizing that there is a big distinction between the human line of reasoning and buildup than that which comes from revelation. And as I say, there has been dangers along the way where at some students along the line have been fooled into feeling that Mrs. Eddy just is another one along perhaps a Platonic idealistic way of thinking. But Plato, as she says very clearly, you see, if you've gone over this paper that I handed out, is not Christian Science. She makes it very clear that her buildup is not from the Grecian philosophy, from the Greeks, or the buildup from any of them, from Plato onward. Though there is that idealism that runs through Mrs. Eddy's line, that whole concept that it is idea that is the substance of reality and not matter. Of course, Plato working with that concept of the realm of ideas from which the world is just shadowing forth. They've even likened Mrs. Eddy to Hegel and his concepts. But Hegel himself was working with a dialectic way of reasoning, which still reasoned through matter, through human reasoning, in order to reach the divine. So I think we see very clearly that Mrs. Eddy draws that distinction from the spiritual is in the realm of the spiritual, and it is not influenced or needs the divine realm in any way. So let's make that point very clear. And today this is our big main emphasis will be to look at this philosophy, this divine philosophy, as it has its impact on the world, bringing the world from the material philosophy of materialism into a mental philosophy of the second degree, into finally the divine philosophy of the third degree. But that third degree is outside of the mental and the physical realm, totally, and works with the divine mind in revelation. Something that takes time for the human mind to realize that there is a realm outside of the human mind, which is the divine mind. We see that there is only one mind, but there are different ways of looking at reality. And we will see when we look at those different degrees that Mrs. Eddy gives on page 115, that what she calls mortal mind is really just the divine mind, the one mind, misunderstood. And when one looks at the universe from material concepts, she calls that mortal mind or material mind. And when we look at the world from the mental realm, from moral values, which have good and evil, then that she calls the human mind, that human mind. It's a half mind, half good, half evil. But when we look at the world from the standpoint of spiritual facts, then she calls that the divine mind. So the realm of the divine mind, that mind of Christ, the realm that Jesus was operating in, he was only going out from the third degree of divine facts always. So when we go out only from the realm of ideas and calculate only with ideas, we are going out from the realm of the divine mind. So mind entertaining ideas, see, that's the point of the spiritual. It's only ideas. But when mind entertains good and evil, false concepts and some true concepts, that's the human mind, half real, half unreal. But when mind is in total delusion, all unreality, it's mortal mind. So we have to realize that that divine mind, which goes out only from the ideas, we attain. Mrs. Eddy said that Jesus was a natural divine scientist. We see that his mother Mary, that she caught the glimpse at the end of the 4,000 year period in biblical history, that God principle was the Father, that God principle was the origin of man, and that we come forth from the Father. We'll see that when we go through the 1,000-year periods, especially when we get to that 4,000-year period of principle, that standpoint of Samuel, that standpoint of David, where they could see that our consciousness comes forth from the Father, that principle God is our origin, that man is spiritual, has a spiritual birth, not a material birth. It's really radical what Christian Science teaches. It isn't something that we hear, of course, we know in the just the schools. So, therefore, the divine mind that Jesus had came forth from the Father. Mary saw that his origin was of God. Therefore, he was born a natural divine scientist, naturally coming out from ideas only, working only in the realm of facts, truth. But she said to those born of the flesh, to those born within a material calculus, in the belief of a material calculus, which we all feel we are have been born from a material calculus, then she says, divine science has to be a discovery. We have to discover the realm of the divine mind and ideas. So it is the big point then we will see is mind. The whole basis of the universe is mind. So therefore, she will show that the whole basis of her divine philosophy is the divine mind. It goes out from that mind that entertains ideas, and works only with revelation, meaning that that mind just knows. Mind reveals to itself. Mind is that all-knowing mind that doesn't need to be educated, that there is that realm in being. Wonderful, isn't it? And I think in Christian Science, in the years that we've been working, many of us here now together, some of us been 20 years together, some of us 10, 5, 4, we begin to see that more and more that realm of mind becomes natural. And I think in that sixth chapter that we started to take last year together, where Mrs. Eddy demands that we reason from the Father, from that one mind which is God, that and saying that this is natural. This should be natural to us. Christian Science, over and over again in that sixth chapter of Science, Theology, and Medicine, she just demands it, just so repetitive. Christian Science is natural. It must be natural to you. It's your nature. See, we always, being born of the material calculus, thinks ignorance is our nature of the first degree. Or evil beliefs, or depravity, or selfishness, or self-justification, all those qualities of the first degree, we feel at times that's natural to man. Well, it isn't. It's unnatural. It's unreal, she says. Then we go on to the second degree of the moral, and we think, well, now the moral of the human, that's the highest, and that's natural to be sometimes moral and sometimes not immoral. That, well, that's just the way man is. Sometimes he's good, sometimes he's evil. We just have to accept it. So we say, well, if our friends are nice to us sometime, okay, but I know in the next minute they're going to be ugly and evil, you see. Stab us in the back, so to speak. But then we say, well, that's just natural. We have to expect it. That isn't natural. What is natural is the realm of the spiritual, she says, which is always good. So good. The maximum of good is God and his idea. What is natural is the world should be good and harmonious and spiritual. And so we should begin to feel comfortable in the spiritual paradigm. And that's why we come to class. That's why we study. That's why we have the year's work alone with our own consciousness, is to make the spiritual realm through exercise, through practice. See, that is the You know, it's interesting, the more and more that we get into this subject, we will see that man has a very limited responsibility within the system of being. We're going to see that principle God is a self-operating system. Principle operates by itself. It doesn't need our help. That's divine cybernetics. So therefore, what we will see is that this system is a holistic, dimensional, self-operating system. That's what God is. We don't have to wake up in the morning and set God to work. Oftentimes, you know, in the church, we felt that, well, we would do our lesson, and that would keep animal magnetism from getting to us, and if we didn't do the lesson sermon, then watch out. We had to set God in motion for our life. Well, we see now through the science that Mrs. Eddy taught, that beautiful science that governs changes, again, that sixth chapter, The Christ is the Christ, where she shows, no, that it's a science that governs changes. That science is a self-operating system. We don't have to do anything. As the Word of God, God declares by itself to the universe what it is. And as the Christ, God itself brings its nature down to our situation and overturns everything in us that isn't like God. We don't have to make ourselves spiritual. We don't have to make ourselves go from the first degree of the physical to the second degree of the moral, finally into the third degree of the spiritual. That's not our effort. The Christ is doing it to us. We are doomed for salvation, so to speak. The whole universe, including man, is being forced by the Christ idea to go forward. We certainly see that today, don't we, in the beautiful world events that are going on. Surprisingly so to the human mind today, the rapidity and the sudden changes, but the going forward of world consciousness for good. And so, therefore, the world is forced from the first degree to the second degree into the third degree. So we don't declare what God is the Word. God does it. We don't set God into motion to change our life. God does that as a Christ. But as Christianity, as we will see, there is the accentuation on man, on the Christian aspect, when we get into the fourfold calculus. And man has a responsibility within the system. Otherwise, it is fatalism. If we just say, well, God is a self-operating system that operates by itself, then we would drop into fatalism and say, well, live, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. There's nothing we can do about it anyhow. Well, God, and we even hear amongst ourselves, people say, well, we just let principle operate, as if it's just a self-operating system which is fatalistic, there's nothing we can do about it. Well, that isn't Christian Science. That's not the levels of being or the fourfold operation. Because Christianity says we have a responsibility, and that is to respond to the Word and the Christ. That is to be open to it. And if we're open to what God is declaring as its nature, and the Christ bringing it to our situation, and we say, let it happen, let it change our lives, let us go forward, then we are responding, and we experience a gradual step-by-step, more or less smooth, without a lot of friction, and safe forward development. But if we don't respond as man, we still have to go forward, but through suffering. That's why Mrs. Eddy says we can go forward through science or suffering. If we don't respond intelligently with understanding that God is taking us to the third degree of the spiritual, and that we are ultimately the image and likeness of God, the Son of God, and we want to build the houses on the human and stick there, where we're sometimes good and sometimes evil, and we want to stay there, we're going to experience in harmony, friction, what we call chemicalization, crises, or animal magnetism, false influence. So we must respond. That keeps it from being fatalistic. That's Christianity. Science, then, the part of the fourfold calculus, just is a self-operating, self-explanating, explaining system that is happening. So we will see then that this divine philosophy operates totally within the spiritual realm, totally within the third degree, which is the lesson for today in many, many ways. So let's just read together various points that we have in the paper. I think I'll read the first main point and then start picking out other points. So therefore, she says in Prose Works, in Unity of Good, page 11, she says, under that big heading, does Christian Science monopolize? And she says, material and sensual consciousness are mortal. That's the first degree. Hence, they must sometime and in some way be reckoned unreal. So she's saying, all right, at some time we're going to have to reckon, understand that the first degree of the physical realm is unreal. That time has partially come, or my words would not have been spoken. Jesus has made the way plain, so plain that all are without excuse who walk not in it. But this way is not the path of physical science, human philosophy, or mystic psychology. So right away she lets us know that Jesus' path is not the path of physical science, of human philosophy, or even mystic psychology, the mental realm. So already she says his path is not of the physical, the first degree. It's not even of the human, the second degree, or of mystic psychology, which is mental, which is also the second degree. So his path has nothing to do with the first degree of the physical, nor the second degree of the human mentalism. The talent and genius of the centuries have wrongly reckoned. They have not based upon revelation, that's that third degree of the divine mind, their arguments and conclusions as to the source and resource of being, its combinations, phenomena, and outcome, but have built instead upon the sand of human reasoning. So she draws already the distinction between Christian Science, divine philosophy based on revelation, the divine mind, versus human reasoning of the human mind. Even how much human reasoning seems to have brought mankind forward. So they think. They have not accepted the simple, I love that, the simple teachings and life of Jesus as the only true solution of the perplexing problem of human existence. Sometimes it is said by those who fail to understand me that I monopolize. And this is said because ideas akin to mine have been held by a few spiritual thinkers in all ages. So she's saying, well, throughout the history of philosophical, scientific, or psychological development, a few thinkers and spiritual thinkers have caught glimpses of Christian Science. She says, healing has gone on continually, yet healing as I teach it has not been practiced since the days of Christ. What is the cardinal point of the difference in my metaphysical system? Now she tells what the difference is between her divine philosophy and human philosophy. This, by knowing the unreality of disease, sin, and death, you demonstrate the allness of God. This difference wholly separates my systems from all others. So she's saying, I see the unreality of the first degree of disease, sin, and death. I don't make a reality of that. I see it as false concepts, false beliefs, objectified. And so by knowing that that first degree is unreal, well, then you're going to demonstrate the allness of the third degree of the spiritual realm as the only reality. This, as we said, then, difference wholly separates my system from all others. The reality of these so-called existence I deny, because they are not to be found in God. And this system is built on Him as a sole cause. It would be difficult to name any previous teachers save Jesus and apostles who have thus taught. That is terrific. As I say again, she's showing over and over her lying does not come from any of the other schools of philosophy, psychology, whatever. It only comes from that spiritual line. And you know what's interesting is that back at that time of the Greeks, that the prophets were speaking at the same time, weren't they? That's around 500 BC that you get the prophets really writing the first record of creation. That's where they did their big, big work in captivity in and around 500 BC, where they went into captivity and really began to work on that first record of creation. We'll see when we get into the Bible this week how the second record of creation was written first, around 800 BC. But the first record of creation wasn't written till around 500 BC. And at the time that they were putting together the real big spiritual line of reasoning, of revelation, the philosophers were working with the human reasoning in Greece. So you get that whole line then of human reasoning beginning with the Greeks that go on through human philosophy even today, which has no savior. Regardless of all the isms and ology of idealism or materialism that has come forward through Plato and Aristotle and all the Greeks, that line has yielded no savior. The world, Mrs. Eddy says, is still the same. It still struggles with materialism and selfishness, sensuality, sin, materialism. But the spiritual line was developing simultaneously, step by step, in direct opposition to that human reasoning line. And that is going on at the same time. So she shows them that she is only from the line of Jesus and his apostles. If there be any monopoly in my teaching, it lies in this utter reliance upon the one God to whom belong all things. Jesus taught us to walk over, not into or with, the currents of matter and or mortal mind. This is important. This is something that we only learn by the baptism by fire, that we don't walk into or with the first degree of mortal mind. And that is always difficult because we want to argue with error. We want to fight it out on a lower court. She's saying that Jesus was in it but not of it. Huh? He always walked over it. He was outside of it. That the third degree of the spiritual is outside of the mental degree of human reasoning and outside of its effect, the physical. That it, she'll always keep showing you to stay outside of it. Don't get into mentalism, which objectifies itself as the physical. Stay out of it in consciousness. His teachings beared the lions in their den. He turned the water into wine. He commanded the winds. He healed the sick, all in direct opposition to human philosophy and so-called natural science, which is then just human philosophy basing itself on matter, which then that's a matter science, taking the worldview of the human philosophy that says that matter is real, then hence the outcome of a material science. Jesus annulled the laws of matter, showing them to be laws of mortal mind, not of God. He showed the needs of changing this mind and its abortive laws. He demanded a change of consciousness and evidence and effected this change through the higher laws of God. So you can see that she goes on with this point, showing then that Jesus stooped not to any second degree of human mind or to the first degree of mortal mind. He was at work in the divine mind, and that mind itself was a self-operating. As we come down to the end of that point, she says, the laborers are few in this vineyard of capital mind sowing and reaping. But let them apply to the waiting grain the curving sickle of capital mind's eternal circle and bind it with the bands of soul. So you go on then in the assignment you read than that human philosophy being based at on there. Then I like just to pick out a few points that bring it home. You can see here that point under divine philosophy versus human philosophy as we come to the third page. Yes, for you it would be the second page, where she says there at the end of that point, and knowing yes, divine philosophy versus human philosophy, where she says, Leibniz, Descartes, Fichte, Hegel, Spinoza, Bishop Berkeley were once clothed with a brief authority, but Berkeley ended his metaphysical theory with a treatise on the healing properties of tar water, and Hegel was an inveterate snuff-taker. The circumlocutions and cold categories of Kant failed to improve the conditions of mortals, morally, spiritually, or physically. Such miscalled metaphysical systems are reeds shaken by the wind. You can see she doesn't give it any point. Then she says, I'm going to come back to the divine philosophy, but again on the human philosophy, page 3, up there, the very first quote from Miscellaneous Writings, 260, under human philosophy, she says, pagan mysticism, Grecian philosophy, or Jewish religion never entered into the line of Jesus' thought and action. I mean, she can't be clearer to say that Jesus' line is not of the line of mysticism, Grecian philosophy, or old theology. So if I can get that across, and I think I just probably have, that's very important. Then let's take a look at Eastern philosophy, because you know, so we'll begin to see that Christian Science has nothing to do with the New Age, because the New Age will bring in the Grecian philosophy, and it certainly brings in Eastern philosophy. So what does she say there about some of these Oriental philosophies? So we've just seen it isn't from the Greek, which is the basis of the Western civilization. What about the Eastern? Let's take a look on your page 4 about Brahmanism. She says, no greater opposites can be conceived of physically, morally, and spiritually than Christian Science, spiritualism, and theosophy. So spiritualism and theosophy are the basis of Oriental philosophy. And let's see what she means by that.